So we're going to pray, okay? Let's pray, and then we will get started. Let's pray. Dear kind and heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us together this morning, Lord. Father, there's so many of us here struggling, and I know the answer is surrender. Surrender. Cast your burdens. Surrender. Some of us are really struggling with that. We're finding it hard to hand over the reins. We're finding it hard to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us where we need to go, whether it's because we have trust issues, whether it's because we truly don't believe in you, whether it's because we've had a bad experience, whether it's because we deep down blame you for our current situation. Father, help our unbelief. Help us. We're asking in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, guys. Oh, Lord. It ain't easy, man. It ain't easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. Let me show you what we're reading today, okay? Let me show you what we're reading today. What does it say? What does it say? I'm covering it a little bit. What does it say, guys? It says, uttermost salvation for God's children. The uttermost. What does the word uttermost mean? Let's do a Google. Let's see what Hebrews, what Paul is going to tell us, okay? Let's see what he's saying. Uttermost. What does uttermost mean, man? What does it mean? Furthest, greatest, of most extreme. The furthest, the greatest, of most extreme, guys. The salvation, the saving grace for God, the saving grace from God for his children is of the greatest, the most extreme. We have to hold on to these promises, as I keep saying to you. Hold on to the promises, recite them back to him and say to him, this is what you said. It says, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. What is his priesthood? What is his mission? To be able to save us to the uttermost that come unto him. Why? Because he ever lives to make intercession for them. I'm going to explain this to you guys. This is how it was explained to me. So I'm going to explain it to you like this, and I hope it helps, okay? I hope it helps. Our salvation is not just when Jesus comes. Your salvation isn't just when Jesus comes. He saves us over and over and over and over again. We are currently being saved from something right now. We don't know what it is sometimes. Sometimes we don't even know what we're being saved from right now. But we are constantly being saved to the uttermost. Some things we will never know what we've escaped until we actually get to heaven. some situations, some things that people have plotted against you to happen, some things that people have planned for your own demise, you will not even know about them until you get to see Jesus in those pearly gates. Okay? Because he continuously Do you know what intercession is? Let me show you what intercession is. Intercession is this. Intercession, interceding is when you act on the behalf of another. You act on the behalf of another. He is constantly saving us from something, guys, because he lives. He ever lives to intercede, to act on our behalf. That is his job. That is what he's waiting to do. That is what he's waiting to do. Even when things go wrong, even when we disobey, when we mess up, when we do something wrong, he's doing this. You might be thinking, well, how does he act on my behalf when I disobey, when I sin? How does he act on my behalf? Well, when we come to God, the Father, which we can't really do, guys, because we're sinners, okay, and he can't be around sin. But anyway, when we pray to God, the Father, for forgiveness through Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name, okay, when we pray to him for forgiveness, he is sitting there, the Father, like a judge. He sits there like a judge. And Jesus, our intercessor, our lawyer, our mediator, speaks on our behalf because we've asked him to forgive us, right? We've asked him to forgive us. How can he forgive us? Because he died. How can he take the sins? Because he died for us. So he is our mediator. And he says to the judge, he says, Father, my blood. And it covers the sin that we have committed. Because we've come to him, the only one that can take the sin from us. Our lawyer, our mediator, our intercessor. He acts on our behalf. But what do you think the enemy's doing at the same time that Jesus is pleading, interceding on our behalf? What do you think the enemy's doing? He's going, oh no, she's done that 10 times already. He's the prosecutor. Oh no, she's done that 10 times already. She's done that 50 times already. He's messed up 5 times already. Judge, you got to condemn her to death. You got to condemn her to death because she's already done that. How many times are you going to forgive her? And Jesus is interceding, saying, Father, my blood. And that is how we are able to leave free of charge. That is how we are able to get away scot-free, guys, for crimes, things that we do that go against our Holy Father. That is how we get away with them, because Jesus is ever living to intercede on our behalf. He doesn't just save us when he comes. He saves us over and over and over. You know, we can decide, I'm not saying that you should, but we can really decide to get up today and go and do something that is quite horrible. You can decide to go and have an argument. You can go decide to cuss someone out. You can even go and decide to do something even more brutal than that. And the fact is, I'm not saying that you should do this, by the way, as I said, but the fact is you have the opportunity, because Jesus died for you, to actually have that thing thrown into the sea, whatever act you've done, thrown into the sea, forgotten about, if you're truly sorry. Because his job is to ever live, to intercede for his children, for those who love him. He can see our weaknesses. He sees our flaws. He sees that we are unable to cope with this life without him. So when we don't do things according to plan, when we don't follow him, he is going to pick us back up and help us to try again. If we want to, if we ask him, if we give him permission. Let's read on. Let's read on. It says, every provision has been made for our infirmities, every encouragement offered us to come to Christ. We've been given every tool in the toolbox, guys. Every encouragement. This, I said to you already, we're already talking about things that we're struggling with this morning. We're already talking about being down about our current situations. We're already talking about struggling and feeling like we can't go on. Yet still, the encouragement that you may only receive today has come from this one devotion. He's ever trying to do what? Save us. Ever and ever, over and over again. Every encouragement has been offered to us to come to Christ. Christ offered up his broken body to purchase back God's heritage, to give man another trial by his spotless life, his obedience, his death on the cross of Calvary. Christ interceded for the lost race. And now, not as a mere petition, does the captain of our salvation intercede for us, but as a conqueror claiming his victory. His offering is complete. And as our intercessor, he executes his self-appointed work, holding before God the censer containing his own spotless merits and the prayers, confessions, and thanksgiving of his people. What did I say, guys? What did I say he's doing? Before God, he's holding before God our prayers, our confessions, our thanksgivings. He's holding before them. Because why can he do that? Because he has already made an offering. He's already made a sacrifice, a complete sacrifice that warrants that he can cover all these prayers. He can cover all the confessions. He can cover all the thanksgiving. It says, perfumed with the fragrance of his righteousness, these ascend to God as a sweet savor. The offering is wholly acceptable, and pardon covers all transgression. Only Jesus can save us. Only he can hold our prayers before a holy God. And because of his righteousness, because of his sacrifice, because of what he did on Calvary, those prayers become not stinky, smelly, horrible filled smells, but they actually become a sweet savor that makes us be able to have them pardoned. They have become acceptable because Jesus covers them. He covers them. It says Christ has pledged himself to be our substitute and surety, and he neglects no one. Let me tell you that one more time. He has pledged himself to be our substitute and surety, and he neglects no one. He who could not see human beings exposed to eternal ruin without pouring out his soul unto death in their behalf will look with pity and compassion upon every soul who realizes that he cannot save himself. As you can see, I told you, sometimes I highlight things. Sometimes my mum highlights things. But this is what I highlighted, guys. He pledges himself as our substitute. Why? Because we're the sinners. We have broken the law. He didn't break the law. We broke the law. So instead of us taking the rightfully deserved punishment for us breaking the law, he puts himself in the line of fire. He puts himself in the line of fire so that he becomes the perfect substitute, spotless, sinless, to take our sin. And this is open for everybody. He could not see us exposed to eternal ruin, because that is what is going to happen, guys, if he isn't our substitute. If he doesn't become our substitute, we are exposing ourselves, condemning ourselves to eternal ruin. He could not see that. So he decided to pour his soul and his death in for our behalf. So that what, guys? So that in doing so, we will realize that we cannot, will never ever be able to save ourselves. It says he will look upon no trembling suppliant without raising him up. He who through his own atonement provided for man an infinite fund of moral power will not fail to employ this power in our behalf. We may take our sins and sorrows to his feet. What did we say, guys? Cast your burdens. Cast your burdens. We may take our sins, our sorrows, our problems, our fears. We can take everything to his feet. Why? Because he loves us. His every look and word invites our confidence. He will shape and mold our characters according to his own will. In the whole satanic force, there is not power to overcome one soul. Pause. Let me just say something. In the whole of the satanic force, all of the demons in the whole world, the devil himself has not got the power to overcome not one soul. But there's a caveat. Who in simple trust casts himself on Christ? We don't read the rest of it. We can only face the enemy, guys, if we trust in Jesus. He can't overcome those who trust in Christ. He can't beat us. He can't win if we rest solely in the bosom of Jesus. But when we try to do this stuff on our own, we are overcome. When we try to live this life on our own, according to our own will, we are overcome and we question and go, God, why did you let this happen? Because you didn't trust in him. You didn't cast yourself on to him. So when we say these things, that surrendering is important because you now have armor that covers you and protects you from what the enemy would bring to your door. It's not because you're scared right now. It's not because you're stressed right now. It's not because you're worried right now. These little things that the enemy is trying to do is to weaken your faith so that ultimately, he can overcome you. Ultimately, he can beat you down. Ultimately, he can win. It says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. That's Isaiah 40, verse 29. That's our verse of the day, guys. If you are feeling overwhelmed, overcome, you feel like your problems are bubbling up to your throat and you feel like you are drowning, the promise is the promise is the promise, guys. He giveth power to the faint. Who does that? Jesus. He gives power to the faint and to them that have no might, that have no strength, that have no power, he increaseth their strength. We don't have to worry about what the enemy has in store for us if we cast all of our trust and our cares on Jesus. We don't have to worry, guys, because he's always, always going to save his children to the uttermost. Always. Always, always.